Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 14. Second Samuel chapter number 14. Something I feel that God is really bearing in my heart, and I pray he'll use it today and speak to our hearts together. Verse number 28, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 28. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Now, if you're familiar with this in its context, it's Absalom had slain his brother and had fled. His half-brother messed up with his half-sister, and he'd fled and come back but not seen the king. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine. He hath barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. And Joab arose and came to Absalom and to his house and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, Wherefore am I come from Gershah? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me." So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a word of prayer. After that, you may be seated. But as we bow, let's ask God to help our minds, our hearts, get centered in what God has for us here today, and pray that he'll speak to hearts. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, that we can come today and make our prayer to you. And Lord, your songs have been sung and prayers have been made. And Father, worship has been given. And I pray in Jesus' name now you'd help us to preach. I realize the fact, God, that without you we can do nothing. So we need that divine touch of God. I pray for the Holy Spirit to so illuminate our minds and bring to remembrance those things we need. Help us, God, to think like we ought to think. Help me forget about everybody, everything that would be a hindrance in any way, and just center in on that you have for us here in this service. And I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit in power would work in hearts and minds of individuals. And Father, there are those here today that you are speaking to and working with, and I pray the power of God would come in such a manner. Real conviction would come. People would cry out to God for help, and we'll thank you and praise you. I pray you'd help us now, and we yield it to you in Jesus' name. Plead the blood, claim that victory in Jesus. In his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. And you've heard me mention it. Some of you have heard me preach on this subject. And that be as it may, God has so led us in this direction today. And just simple, and you've heard it from other preachers. You've heard it mentioned. It's been preached many ways, many times, but today, I want to yield myself to God and pray that God will help me preach on this subject. He will set your fields on fire. There's no song says that. And if sin is your desire, he'll set your fields on fire. And what it's saying is that God always has a final word. And God will get your attention one way or the other. And so we want to look at it and think about this. And think of what God's saying. By the way, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, it makes this statement, "But our God is a consuming fire. And we need to remember that our God is a consuming fire. Sometimes we get the idea that God is an old man sitting up in heaven with a beard, and that he's kind of, you know, just sitting there, lovingly, grandfatherly type fella. And he is a loving God. He is a caring God. And he does care and he does love. But I want you to know he's a holy God. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. And you got the wrong picture of him. You've got him as an old man upstairs rocking in a rocking chair. You've got the wrong picture of God. And so I pray that God would help you to understand that. Numbers 32 and verse number 23. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. And that's a statement we need to all raise. We remember, be sure your sin will find you out. Then in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And if you've ever had a garden or lived on a farm, you know that if you take potatoes and slice them up and have those eyes in those pieces of potatoes and put them in the ground, potatoes are going to come up if you plant them. Corn will not come up where you plant potatoes. And green beans don't come up where you plant potatoes. But if you plant green beans, potatoes don't come up. And so whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's what God said. And we need to take it to heart that God meant what he said. It's the truth. It's true in nature as you look in the garden situation or whatever you're looking at. What a man sows, that he reaps. And we need to let God help us with our lives, because we're sowing, we're going to reap. As sure as we sow, we reap. And so today, I pray that God will help us as we try to get into this message, that God may so move in our hearts. And thinking about God will set your fields on fire. And I want to talk about saved folk, first of all. Saved people. Now here, in context, and Joab is not going to the king. Absalom wants him to go and get him there and get him to the king, but he's not doing it. So he said, set his field on fire. He got a barley field over here beside of it, set it on fire. And when that gets set on fire, he'll go to the king and he'll get me there. And did you know God wants us to come to the king? Amen. Some of us need to come to the king and get right with God. Some of us need to come to the king in behalf of somebody else and get them to God. And here the king speaks of God the Father. And whatever the situation may be, we need to get to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes God has to allow our fields to get set on fire to get our attention, and people that we pray for. And I pray today that God would help us as we think about this. And let me talk about saved people first of all. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say saved, I'm not talking about just church members. I'm talking about people that really know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And Jesus said in John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I mentioned that last Wednesday or Sunday or sometime. But he didn't say may follow. I hope they follow. He said they will follow. And somehow in our generation, we've got the idea that people be saved and it doesn't make any difference how they live. It does. People that are saved have a desire to follow God. Y'all still with me? Amen. I believe there's a whole lot of people we try to get to live for God that needs a real good dose of old time salvation. It would change their lives and would do something for them and would help them. We try to doctor them up and put Band-Aids on them and try to soothe them over a little salve and nothing that really helps them when they really need a heart transplant is what they need. And if you get a heart transplant, thank God it'll work and change them and make them new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they'd be different then. You say, well, don't saved people ever mess up? They sure do. But I can tell you right now, if you ever mess up, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I didn't make that up. That's in the Word of God. And he teaches us that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And he said that we ought to give him glory in our bodies and spirit, which are his. We ought to praise him. and live for him. And have if he ever really does a work in our hearts, we ought to have that desire to do so and pray that God will help us do that. Amen. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And don't ever forget that verse of scripture. He is a new creature. And I'm glad that God changes us and makes us new. I'm going to get down to what I'm trying to say here in a minute, but I'm trying to get the setting for it. If we're going to talk about saved people, we need to understand what saved people are. Saved people are born again people. People who have seen themselves lost and going to hell. And nobody ever got saved until they saw themselves lost and going to hell. And you don't get saved just because somebody talks you into it or it seemed like a nice thing to do. You really got under Holy Ghost conviction and realized that you were no good. You say, preacher, don't tell me I was no good. I had some good things about me. The Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Holy God. Hey, ever the best I can do, and the best you can do, and best we've ever done, be nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God concerning this thing of being right with God. And we ever one was a dirty outcast bunch. Amen. Had nothing to boast in, absolutely nothing that we could boast in. But Jesus came by one day, and the Holy Ghost made it real to us that we were unsaved, unlost, going to hell, and didn't have anything to plead. And then he took us a step further and showed us Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God that so loved us that he went to Calvary's cross, died for our sin, paid our price, rose from the dead, and ascended back to the Father to make intercession for us. And we realized the fact that he wanted to save us and that he would save us if we'd only come in repentance and faith, believing that he would save us. And then, only then, did we make a step of faith and come to him as we saw ourselves hopeless, helpless, and we cried out to God to save us. And God, by his marvelous grace and power, did a work on the inside. You say, preacher, explain that. I can't explain that. I can tell you this, it's better felt than told. Amen. That God Almighty did something on the inside, birthed me in the family of God and took that load of sin off and put in joy inside, gave me peace I had never had, let me know I saved, and I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad today I know that 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 I'm saved. Amen. You say, preacher, that's mighty, a lot of sureness that you have. It sure is. I wrestled too long. I went too long out there trying to be saved, hoping I was saved, trying to be good enough to be saved, and trying to do right and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad one day, praise God, I got born in the family of God, and God saved me by his marvelous grace. And I know I'm saved. And today, if you don't know you're saved, then I pray God will convict you and show you what he showed me one day and bring you to Christ Jesus. But then after we are saved, we are new creatures, we are different, and we mess up, what happens to us? God does, well, let's go back, just look at Hebrews, and then we won't look at it. Let me just try to quote it best I can. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, what he's saying is simply this. If you say you're saved, and God never chastens you, never corrects you, and you do things wrong, and you don't repent and don't get right, and you let it go, but God never, never chastens you, then what he's really saying is you're lying about him. You're not really saved. You can't be saved, not biblically saved. You may be saved like some of this crowd out here talks about being saved, but to be born again, saved by the grace of God and birth in the family of God, you cannot go out there and let something in your life that's wrong and God not deal with you about it, because he will. He'll deal with you about that because you're his son. That's what he said, and that's why he's talking about this, being a child of God, being chastened of God. And I'm glad God chastened me. By the way, when you correct your children, do you just yank them up someday and worm out and say, now, go on your way? You never do that. You set them down, you talk to them, you try to tell them what they're doing wrong, try to give them instruction, try to help them, and then you hope they listen to what you said and that they'll do better. But if they don't listen, after a while, you just simply have to correct them some way. I know today they use timeouts and all that. My dad didn't know anything about timeout. All he knew was time in the woodshed, amen, and time in the back bedroom somewhere, time to get you straightened out. But you know what? He never did correct me that I did not know why he was doing it. I might have tried to say I wasn't guilty. I might have tried to say I don't deserve this or whatever, but it didn't make any difference to him. He knew what I'd done or didn't do. It's not always what you did. A lot of times it's what you didn't do he told you to do. And you kept putting it off and putting it off. And then the day was gone. Then Dad come in from work and it wasn't done. We're using a heap of trouble. And so it's not all about sin that we commit, but sins of omission as well as commission that we get in trouble with God with. And so I'm talking about God setting your fields on fire. And he'll speak to you and he'll deal with you and he'll try to get you to see. And what he wants you to do is confess it and forsake it and get it right. But if you'll not do that, then God will go like an earthly dad would and chasten you because he loves you. You don't ever whip your children because you don't love them. You correct them in whatever way you correct them. You got to be careful today of what you talk about. But anyway, I'm just going by what the Bible says. Amen. And you need to correct your children because you love them. You don't want them to grow up and not respect authority. Where you learn respect authority is in the home as mom and dad corrects you and guides you in the right direction. Amen? And that begins there, then it can carry on in other places. But if it doesn't have it there, it won't carry on any other place. And so we must have that respect. And they're teaching us that. And teaching you not to steal. Teaching you not to lie. I don't know how it was. But my mama could tell if I was doing something. She had eyes in the back of her head. Undoubtedly, you can do something and nobody you thought knew about it. And she'd ask you about it and tire me up. And I think, how in the world did that come to pass? Well, let me say this to you. If mamas can do that and daddies can do that, don't you think God knows everything about you? Don't you think God knows everything there is to know about you and me? I mean, he never gets caught by surprise about anything because he knows everything and you can't hide anything from him. And therefore today, it'd do us all good that we just listen to what God has to say. He'll set your fields on fire, and he will set your fields on fire. I'm thinking about Lot and give you a biblical illustration. Lot was the Bible said down in Sodom that his righteous soul was vexed from day to day with her unlawful deed. Now, he was saved, man. But he got messed up. He was Abraham. Abraham's a nephew, in fact. And Abraham had helped him and really what he had because of Abraham. But then these flocks got too large and the shepherds, herdsmen got to arguing between themselves which pasture they was going to have and all that. Abraham said, you pick out whichever way you want to go. And I'll go the other way, you go one way, and I'll go the other way. And Lot lifted up his eyes. He didn't ask Abraham what he thought. He didn't ask the older man, one that had experience, what he would do. He didn't ask that. He didn't ask God anything about it. All he did was look down towards Sodom and saw the plains were well watered and that would be a good place to raise cattle, a good place to get rich, and a good place to go, and physically he's talking about. And so he pitched his tent towards Sodom. By the way, he didn't just move from Abraham's presence right on into Sodom. He went one step at a time into Sodom. It wasn't a sudden jump into Sodom. And you don't get out of the will of God and jump into Sodom all of a sudden. You start thinking wrong. It begins to work in your mind. The devil begins to paint pretty pictures and show you things and try to lie to you and tell you things. Then you start making steps that direction. And then the next thing you know, you're down in there. And then Lot got in Sodom, and down there his righteous soul was vexed from day to day. He knew he was in the wrong place. He knew he wasn't where he needed to be with God. But he stayed down there, got in the gate of the city, become one of the rulers of that place. How sad a commentary it is. Now listen closely. Be not deceived. God's not mocked.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He sowed to the flesh. Now he's fixing to reap to the flesh. While he was in Sodom, God said, I'm going to destroy that place. Their sins come up before me, and I'm tired of it. I'm putting it in my words now. And said, I'm going to destroy that place. But Lot's down there, and I got to get him out. So he sent the angels down there to tell Lot about it. Lot went to tell his son-in-laws about it. So he had daughters who had married those men down there. And when he went to tell the son-in-laws what God was going to do, the Bible said he seemed like one that mocked in their ears and their sight. He had no effect on them when he told them that God had sent angels down there and that he was going to destroy that place. A mocked, in other words, he seemed like one that mocked. They thought it was funny. They thought, here he is telling us about it, and he's been living down here where we are. I hadn't seen anything out of his life. His daughters had married that crowd and gotten a mess, and it was a mess every way he turned. And then Lot started to get out of Sodom, and his wife, she looked back, and God said, don't look back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And then his two daughters that did get out with him, they were immoral and did not have the right morals in their life. And Lot got out of there, but he sure got out in bad shape. And when he got out, God had set his fields on fire, and God had got his attention, and God got him out, but he had to set his fields on fire to do it. Hey, I want you to get this today. Lot lost some children down there in Sodom. Lot had his own girls that got out and wasn't where they ought to be. We better be careful about our lives, because when God sets our fields on fire, it may be there'll be some things we'll lose in the process. Sin will find you out, and sin always does, and it'll have a payday someday. And since somebody said sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay, and I say amen. That's exactly a good saying. It's a true saying. And today, I don't know about you. I don't know exactly what's happening here today. I can tell you this. The preaching, not the easiest preaching I've ever done. They seem like they're some kind of holding it back today. I can tell you one reason why it is, because God's trying to get somebody's attention, and God's working on somebody. And when God's working on you and you're not listening and you won't let God do what he wants to do, it'll quench your spirit. Unsaved people can't quench the spirit. Unsaved people don't grieve the spirit. They reject the spirit. But saved people quench him and hold him back, because he's trying to do a work and trying to do something in their hearts. You hang with me, amen. Achan got his field set on fire. Achan was one of the children of God, and you know what God told him, don't take a wedge of gold, wedge of silver, Babylonian garment, but he did. And when he did, then when he was found out and hid under the tent floor and thought he had it hid, nobody knew it, it was out of sight. But then God brought it out to be and brought it to light, and they took Achan, took his wife, his children, and everything that he had, and stoned him to death and burnt everything he had, then piled rocks on top of it. I say God set his fields on fire. You say, well, why did God allow that? Because God said, don't you do it. God said, not. Hey, sin has a payday. God's children can't get by. God always has a last word. He always knows what to say, how to say. Samson, that man that God was using mightily to slay the enemy, kill the Philistine, and he was a judge of Israel. And God had his hand on him. You know how the power of God would come upon him. The Spirit of God would come upon him. And with power he did what he did. And power he worked and slew the enemy. But you know what? He got to messing around with the enemy. He got to playing around with the wrong women and got down there with Delilah. You remember the story. Finally laid his head down her lap. He didn't get there all of a sudden. He went there one step at a time. One step at a time. And Samson kept going and going. And the sad thing that hits me so hard here is that God kept giving him warnings. She'd try to trick him up, and she'd cry the Philistines on you. He'd go out and shake himself, and power of God come on him. He'd slay a bunch of them and do whatever needed to be done. But finally he told the truth. And finally he told her where his power lay. And it wasn't the fact that he had long hair. Fact of it was, he's what God told him not to do and do. He was obedient until he messed up. And then God let him lose his power. And the Bible said that he went out and shook himself as at other times. And then when he shook himself at other times, power of God didn't come. He's hanging out there by himself and nothing happened, and he got his eyes put out. And then he got down there in the grinding mill and grinding for the Philistines. They was laughing at him and making fun of him. God set his fields on fire. You say, preacher, I'll do as I please and nobody mess with me. Hey, when God sets your field on fire, you'll know your fields have been set on fire. Amen. And David, that man of God, man after God's own heart. Bible said, you know how he messed up with Bathsheba, and you know the story. And God had dealt with him, but then his baby was born. That baby died. You know why that baby died? Because God set his fields on fire. Now let me plug in right here. It's not every time a baby dies because of sin. It's not every time somebody gets sick because of sin. It's not every time you have a problem because of sin. Job went through a lot of things, wasn't because of sin. But I'm telling you that a lot of times it is because of sin. And a lot of times God is getting our attention, and God is working on us, and God is trying to help us, and we need to listen to what God has to say. God doing the work. And David thought, well, I get by with this, but he didn't get by with it. Nathan the prophet came by and told him about it. But on top of that, that baby was a dying, and David lay in sackcloth and ashes and prayed and cried to God, have mercy on him. But God took that child and took it out of here. Hey, I want you to know that God always has a last word. He always has a last thing to say. Amen. Y'all still with me? I remember pastoring a young lady one time that wasn't here, another place, but I've got some acting almost the same way. But she something happened to her. She'd come to church, get right with God, and I believe she'd say. And she'd get right, and she'd stay in church for a little while, live for God, and then a little bit later she'd be out and be gone. And something happened, she'd cry and ask me to help her, and we'd try to help her, and she'd get right and get in church, stay a little while. And she'd tell me, boy, I'm going to stay in church. Then she'd get out, get right back out in some other stuff. And that went on, I don't know how many times. But one time while she was out, she came in her room, laid down on her bed, just in her 20s, and she died. She died. There is a sin unto death. God will have the last word. And I hear some today say, preacher, I'm going to stay in. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right. And then the next thing you know, you can't get and find them with a sheriff and a search warrant. Hey, man, they're gone somewhere. I don't know what happens. I don't know where to go, what to have. But I do know this. If they're really saved, they're in a heap of trouble, because God will get their attention. God said he'd set their fields on fire. God sets their fields on fire. And God sets the fields on fire of unsaved. And these people that's not saved, that God has to set their fields on fire to get their attention and bring them. You remember that jailer down there in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas is in prison and God sent an earthquake. They've been singing and praising God. And boy, they's having a time. And God shut the jail and the doors flew open. Bands fell off. Everybody's set free. But the jailer started to kill himself. And they cried, don't do that. We're all still here. Why do you think they were all still there? Why didn't they run? Why didn't the other prisoners run? I don't know whether they're afraid to. Well, what I really believed happened was, while they was laying there in prison that night, and while they were singing songs of praise, and while they were shouting glory, hallelujah, and while they were praying to God to help them, I believe this old boy over here had been stealing and robbing and whatever he'd been doing, got under conviction and said, what must I do? I can get what you've got. And I believe they told him how to get saved. I believe, now I'm telling you some steerology right here. It's not in the Bible. But it's Bible preaching, because it's based on the Word of God. Because they didn't run, they didn't flee. And this fellow over here, he said, I heard them singing. I heard them praying. And I heard something different about them. I wanted to know what they had. Jail flew open. And nobody ran. Nobody got out of there. They just hung in there. And that jailer, I believe he looked around and didn't kill himself. He cried out to those men And I believe before he cried out to those men, what must I do to be saved? I believe you heard this old man over here saying, hey, jailer, I'm still here because I heard about Jesus. They told me. I heard him saying. I heard him down out there praying for us in here. I heard him praying for you. Hey, jailer, we ain't gone anywhere. We're still here. And God moved on the scene. And the jailer got saved. God had to set his fields on fire. God had to set his fields on fire. You've heard me tell it many times. But Al Clark, I met him in the hospital. He'd been shot where he's out drinking. Didn't know where he's going to live or die. He said, preacher, I'll come to church if God will let me live. I'd heard things like that a lot of times. I didn't know. But sure enough, God let him live. I looked up one Sunday morning. Here come Mal and Polly. They got in, got saved. Then they got to bringing some other family, and some of them got saved. I got to lead his dad and mom to Jesus. Hey, you know what happened to him? God set his fields on fire. He was working out west some years before that, and somebody gave him a track. And he got under conviction, but he didn't get saved. Then God brought him back east. We got in that hospital, and I walked in that room. God gave us an opportunity to witness to him. God had to set his fields on fire to get his attention. God sets fields on fire to get attention. God knows what he's doing. I'm glad God got him. I'll never forget when some of you folk remembered Brother Don Worthy. I remember when Betty got saved one Sunday. She gave a testimony and said, my husband, pray for him. He's a hard case. So I don't know what it'd take to get him. Well, before the next Sunday, I got a call coming to Mary Black Hospital. He was laying in intensive care with a heart attack. I walked in and started talking to him about Jesus. And he said, preacher, I'd like to get saved. I led him to Jesus, did him my best to. And you always wonder about those cases, but felt God in there. And later on, he got out of the hospital and he came to church. Said, I want to get baptized. He got in church. He come by my house. Back in those days, before the church ever bought me a lawnmower, I had no lawnmower. I couldn't keep running half the time. He'd come by and said, preacher, let me work on that lawnmower. He'd come by and say, I try and get grass to grow in clay dirt down here. I never had tried to grow grass in clay dirt before. Everywhere I grow grass, they had black soil. But I kept trying down here, and he'd come by and he'd say, preacher, you need to get some lime on this thing. We need to help you. He got saved. I never forget the day that he went on to glory. I got a phone call. I was just got to David Kretcher's to preach a revival and got a call that Brother Don Worthy had dropped over. But what I'm trying to say is God set his fields on fire real quick and God got him. What we do sometimes, God's setting them a fire, and it's beginning to burn, and we pray God put the fire out. What we need to do is pray God, let the fire burn until it gets their attention and they come to Jesus and get right. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for the Word of God. And I realize, Lord, this thing is, we've been trying to preach today, trying to share. I know that today that you've laid it on our hearts and dealt with our lives to preach this message. Lord, there's people here today that you're dealing with and that need to get right with God. And Lord, you said in thy word that Absalom said, set Joab's fields on fire. Then he'll go to the king. Father, I pray that you'll do whatever necessary. Whatever needs to be done, do it for your glory. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes closed.